Tide Terry Master Hof Dalad Cheshvan Tovshin Payalov Ripchana Glimblat.
Every year, as we come to the Bereishis Parshas, it's our chayv and our mitzvah to see how we can better our lives, kefi what we know from the Ovis HaKdoshim. Every year there's something new to learn. And I want to, Bezus Hashem, take out one nekuda from the Rav Avinu, which we can get chizuk from, and work on that, Bezus Hashem. See, someone told me, he says, what he learned from Avraham Avinu is that he was very makpid on the government guidelines for Corona. So he said to me, he said, why, what do you see? He said, you go through all the parts, you see again and again. He says, you see in Lech Lecha, he says, light, he had tainas on light, he was coming too close. He said, he poured me a lie. He says, keep your distance. And then he saw, he said, the whole fight with the behemoths, what was the fight? Oh, he riv. He says, light wasn't putting masks on his behemoths. And Avraham Avinu put masks on all his behemoths. He says, you go through, see, Pashas Vayera, and the guests wanted to come into his house. And he made them wash their feet before they entered the house. He says, you go through. And this week, by Chaya Sara, when it comes to finding a shidduch for Yitzchak, he said to Eliezer, you can find the shidduch, but I want you to make a shvur that it's only going to be from my household. So he said, what's pshat? Why was Avraham Avinu so makbid on all these halachas? So the Taitis Pasha, it's a Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah says, Asara Nissen Nisnasa Avraham Avinu V'Omad B'Kulam. Avraham Avinu took 10 tests, and he kept testing positive. It was Mameli with all my makbid. But I want to take a different nekuda, something very different. Now, the nekuda is as follows. If we take this week's parsha of Chayei Sara, and we work through the story of the shidduch of Yitzhak and Rivka, it's a davar nifla, if you think about it. We're not going to be marach on this point, but Pasha, to start us off. He says, look, Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, I want you to find a shidduch from my family. How does he start? How does he do such a thing? You can't just Google her and find her. How do you know who's part of the mishpacha? It's a very hard thing to do. What did he do? What's the first thing someone does when he needs some help? A davent. Davent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Vayoyim Hashem Alekei Adoni Avraham, Hakri no lefonei hayoyim v'asei chesed v'adoni Avraham. Please help me. Help me. Find me the right shidduch. He says, I'm standing here al ein amayim, and the girls are going to come out. The simon will be, if it's a girl who comes and I ask her for a drink, and she says, I'm not only going to give you, I'm going to give the gemalim, that's the one. I know you've chosen this one for Yitzchak. How long did it take for Eliezer's tefillah to be answered? How did it take? Shteit in pasuk, vahihu terem kilo ledaber, v'hini rifki yaitzis. He hadn't even finished talking. He hadn't finished talking to the bashef, and what happened was immediately this girl comes out. He doesn't know yet if she's part of the family, and we're not going to go through all the details, but the bottom line is that it's not long afterwards, and he finds this is the right thing. And what happened was, vahihi kashe kilo agman lishtois, he started, he gave her the present, and he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he did, he was, Vayikoyd, Pazuk says, Vayikoyd ha'ish v'yishtach v'alashem v'yoyme, Baruch Hashem elikei Adoni Avraham, ashele ozav chazdei v'amitchem v'adoni. The Hashkocha Protis of this is one of the first Shidduchim we see in the Torah, of the Hashkocha Protis is so evident. And if we go through the parashas along the way, we see it coming up again and again and again. I don't know if we've ever thought about Moshe Rabbeinu was a baby. I mean, he was a baby, he was brought up in the house. Whose house was he brought up in?
Paroi.
In Paroi. And there's a famous story that the Medrash brings down that one day Paroi was playing with little Moshe on his lap. And Moshe saw his crown, and he chapped a cheshek, and he pulled off the crown from Paroi, and he put it on his own little head. And Paroi got very upset. He says, look, this is a sin, this child's going to try and overthrow me. And he wanted to kill him. Who saved his life? Shteit in Midrash, Yisroi was sitting there. And Yisroi said, don't kill him. He might punch a little kid. Maybe he can help me. Let's do the acid test. What are we going to do? We'll take the gold and we'll take the coal. Oh, and a famous Midrash. And he was going to go and take the gold. And a malach came and he pushed his hand to the coal. He took the coal, he put it in his mouth, and from there, then he became a kvad peh. He couldn't speak. Let's fast forward. You see, Yisrael thought he'd never see this baby again. But if we fast forward many years to when Moshe was a grown man, and he had to run away from Paray, he had to run away from the story, and he ran away from Mitzrayim, and he ended up in Midian, and he came to the Be'er, and he sees the girls waiting there by the Be'er, and everybody's making fun of them and chirping them. Why? Because Yisrael was Parash Navidah Zorah, and the whole town's coughing against him, and no one wanted to take his daughter as a shidduch, and he helped them, and they come home, and Yisrael says, "What's going on? Why are you home so fast?" And he said, "Yeah, there was this fellow turned up from Mitzrayim, and he helped us." He says, "Why didn't you bring him in? Maybe we want to marry one of you." And before you know it, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Edom of Yisrael, who saved his life so many years ago when he was a little baby. Yeah, think about the Hashkoch and Azam Maisa. But what really is a Dovah Nifla, and this is not every year, it's a whole new Hesiris in this Nakuda, is we carry a little bit further, not so long, 3-4 weeks, is Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, the Shidduch of Yosef HaTzadik was Nifla B'Yosef. Unbelievable. Who did he marry? Osnas Bas Potifar. Who was this Osnas Bas Potifar? Sorry? Oh, so very good. Salam Yisraelin. So understand one another here. So again, this is a medrash, very well known medrash, a Pilkei Rabbi Elazar. Pilkei Rabbi Elazar brought down in the Rishonim on the parasha of the Tazakenim and the Cheskuni. And they say that, what was the story? It was a story of Dina Bas Yaakov was never taken away by Shechem. And a child was born, this girl was born, and the Shvatim wanted to kill this child. So what are the Bas Nus in Beis Yaakov? And Yaakov says, "Don't kill her." And he went and he wrote this little Kameah, and he wrote the Shem Hashem and hung it on her neck, right around her neck, and sent her out of the house. She shouldn't be in the house. And what happened was, came the Malach Michal, and he picked up this child and flew her out to Mitzrayim and deposited this child in a family we all know, quite an infamous family, the family of Potiphar and his Rebbetzin, and put down this child over there. And Moshe's Potiphar wasn't going to have any children, and she adopted this child and brought out this child who was called Osnas Bas Potiphar. So how did this shidduch happen with Yosef? When Yosef came out of the boir and he interpreted the dreams, and Pari was all excited and he took him round Eretz Mitzrayim. So what happened was, all the Shteita Medrash, that all the girls, they would come up to see, they wanted to see him. They were trying to attract his attention. That's the Medrash on the Pasuk of Parshas Vayechi of Bonois Tzoado Ali Shur. They all came to see. They tried to attract. That's, by the way, Stam Amoding Amaisa. Each one wanted to, they threw their jewelry at him to try and attract his attention. And he, every single time, he never looked up. He never ever, Yosef HaTzadik, he didn't, he had a Shmoedik Shmoed Sinayim. He never looked up to see any of them. That's a Shmuzer for now, so it's not for now. About Koponim, what happened was, there was one unusual piece of jewelry that landed on his lap. What was it? It was a Kameah. And he opens it up, and lo and behold, in the middle of Mitzrayim, is a Kameah with Lashon of Shem Hashem on it. Ani Dina Bas Yaakov. Ani Bas, he says, I'm Einikol of Yaakov Avinu, Bas Dina. And he did his homework, and he says, can you believe it? In the middle of Mitzrayim, there's the Einikol of Yaakov Avinu. And he finds her, and he marries Osnas Bas Potiphar. Sorry?
The point is that she threw it. Why did she throw it?
She should have held on tight to it.
It was a mystery. What does she want? She wants to marry him.
I hear. Don't forget, we're talking about a little baby that was brought up in Mitzrayim. I don't know how much. Oh, but the Midas were there. She was a Bas Yaakov. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's right. Oh, very good. Yeah. What's amazing about this story is, this is what Shlomo Volba brings out. Kind of an unbelievable thing. He says, let's imagine we were there, B'Shas M'Chiras Yosef. Yeah? Imagine we were there. And we were looking around all the Shvatim in front of us, and we're watching all the Shvatim and Yosef HaTzadik. If I would ask you, what are the chances of Shidduchim for Yosef HaTzadik and for the other Shvatim? So Mestama would have thought, well, the Shvatim, they're sitting here in Beis Yaakov, yeah, Al HaTorah, Al HaVodah, the most amazing place one could be. Imagine what they're going to get. Never Yosef HaTzadik, not a chance. He's been thrown out there into Mitzrayim, there's nothing else. Who's he got? He had no one in the whole country. There was nothing there for him. Nothing at all. He's, forget it. There's not a chance. Abazak Roshleim Evol, but Faket is true. Who did the Shvatim marry? Machloikis and Chazal is Pshat. To'umim Nolda. But one shit in Chazal is what? They married Kenanias. There was no one else then to marry. The Shvatim married Kenanias. Who was the only Shevet of all the 12 Shvatim that married the Bas Yaakov? The only one was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, this bocher who was taken by himself and he was thrown into Mitzrayim as an Eved, the lowest of the low. Nothing. And he was the only one of all the Shvatim who was Zeicher to marry Bas Yaakov. Ad Kan Reb Shlomo Volber. I would be meisif on this, if I may. We can now, if we'd appreciate Vashtet and Rashi later on in Parshas Vayechi. It's nifla if we think about it. He was nifta. Yaakov Avinu was nifta. And he's taken to Kvura. Who's going to carry the Oren? Shteit and Rashi brings that he left at Tzavor. Yaakov Avinu left at Tzavor. Who's going to carry the Oren and how they're going to carry the Oren? In fact, his Tzavor was, Shteit and Medrash and Rashi brings it, the Tzavor was exactly how it's going to work. There's three sons on this side, three sons on that side. Exactly the way it was later on in the Midbar, the way the Degolim was set out. It was La'oisos, the Pasuk says La'oisos, Chasei Chazal, because it was already an Oisos. They knew from Yaakov Avinu about how Klal Yisrael was going to be set out. That's how they carried the Oren. Now listen to what Yaakov Avinu said. Listen to this. Unbelievable. It's not Yaakov Avinu. V'yisso Oisei Bonov V'loi B'lei Bonov, Shteit and Pasuk as children, and not his Einiklach. The Einiklach were not allowed to carry the Oren of Yaakov Avinu. Only the children. Shekach tzivam, zakt Rashi. Al yisum mitah, say, loy ish mitzri, no mitzri am allowed to carry my mitah, v'loy echad mi b'neichem. Told the Shvatim, none of your children are going to carry my Oren. Do you know why? Sheheim mi b'nois Kanan. They're b'nois Kanan. B'nois Kanan can't carry it. Their mother were Kananias. They can't carry my Oren. So Rashi's clearly going, according to the Manda Omar, that they were Kananias, hayu. Zakt Rashi weiter, v'kov lehem okim. And he said exactly where they're going to stand. Gimel lemizrach, v'chein ledalet ruchos. Okasidra namasa machna shel degolim nikvu kein. As we know exactly the way the degolim are going to be. But listen to what he says. Said Yaakov and his tzavor. Levi lo yiso. I don't allow Levi to carry my Oren. Do you know why? Shehu osid losis his Oren. His job is going to be to carry the Oren HaKodesh one day. He's not going to carry my mitzvah. Yosef, don't want him to carry it either. Why not? Because lo yisa shehu melech, he's a king. So we've got a problem over here. We've only got 10. And we need another 2. Who's going to be the other 2? Menashe v'Ephraim yutachteyem. First he says, I don't want any Einiklach. No Einiklach at all. They're b'nois Kanan. Only 2 Einiklach are allowed. Which 2? Menashe and Ephraim. V'ashtey do. Unbelievable. Now, of all the Einiklach, the only ones that were Zeichah they come to. Why? Because their father had the Shidduch of Menashe. Was only Menashe and Ephraim. These were the children that were born in Mitzrayim. If I would ask you a few years ago, not a chance. And these were the only Einiklach that were Zeichah. Why? Because they came from Hazar Shidduch that was made in Canaan that couldn't be made, that none of the other Shvatim were Zeichah to do. Unbelievable. We think about the planning and the Cheshbonus and the Siyad HaDishmaya that goes behind every single Shidduch. I want to tell you a story. The story is the Emes HaMaisa. This story was actually found by someone who deals in antiques foreign. And he found an antique sefer, and on the inside of the cover of that sefer was written the following story. And it was written by a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who heard this story from his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who had heard it from his Rebbe. Who was the Rebbe, Reb Chaim Volozhiner? The Vilna Gaon. And this story was heard peri-peri from Vilna Gaon, and this story happened to the Gaon himself. The Maisa given Azay. The Vilna Gaon, Kiyadua, he went to Golis, right? As many Gedolim did through generations, they went out to places that no one recognized them, and they traveled around. And the Vilna Gaon went, and he stayed at Gevissa Balabais. He stayed there. Stayed there for 2 days. And when he was finished, after 2 days, he was about to leave. He said goodbye to the Balabos. And Balabos said to him, I can see you're a Talmud Chacham. How do you know? I can see. Believe me. How do you know? Akasha. You see the Vilna Gaon. Have a minute. It's all in the Gaon. He says, I'm surprised. How can you leave my house without paying? He said, I'm sorry. Of course I'll pay. I didn't realize you wanted payment. With pleasure, I'll pay you. I'll give you a... He said, no. I don't want money. Don't need your money. He said, what should you pay me? What should I pay you? He said, I want you to give me Teichacha. Teichacha. He said, while you've been in my house now, you've been watching me, I want you to tell me where I'm going wrong. Unbelievable. Has anybody ever done that before? Yeah? Unbelievable. By the way, Zamaisa, the first Rothschild, you know, the Zaydov, the whole Mishpachas Rothschild, he was Yadua Maisa. He used to do that. Every Rav came to his house, he had a lot, for some reason, a lot of Rabbanim coming to his house. And every time a Rav used to come, before they left, he used to tell him, do me a favor, give me some Teichach, I want some Musa. where am I going wrong? You'll do that. And apparently one God Ladoi was once one of the Gedolim, and he sort of thought it through, and he says, your whole house is against the Torah. The whole house is against the Torah. He says, really? I've had Techa, but this is a what's pshat? He says, a pasuk state, vayishman yeshurun vayivot. When a person is zeichet to have so much hatzlach in the parnasa, vayishman yeshurun vayivot. He said, I look around your house, and I see a vayishman yeshur, I don't see a vayivot. The whole house is against the Torah. Yeah? About Kaponim, this Yid came and he told him, the Gaon, I want you to give me Techacha. So the Gaon said to him, there's nothing, I haven't noticed anything wrong. I haven't noticed. He pagered him, he said, tell me, he said, look, I can't see any problems with you, but just tell me, there was one thing I'm quite curious about. I saw Anhoga, I believe there's something going on behind it. I want you to explain what's trapped. He said, no, what's Anhoga, what happened? He said, I noticed every single morning, two mornings, each morning, you wake up, you wash your hands, and the first thing you do after you wash your hands, you run, and you make tea, and you bring it to your wife in bed. Hashein Anhoga, what's pshat in it? So you'll say, well, you know, it's pshat avada. Kanira, there was something he saw, something special. Where's it coming from? So he said, this fellow turned to the Gaon, he said, I want to tell you a story. And the story goes as follows. Please make yourself comfortable, because it's quite a long story. But the story goes like, he said, I was once a child. When I was a child, I was born with Kanaina Hora, a very, very good cop. And it was Yadua, the people in town knew that this kid's going to grow up to be, he's got a lot of potential, this child. And people were already discussing Shaduchim at a very young age. The owner wanted, this is going to be my Eidim one day, he's going to be a Zach. And he said, one fellow came over to my father, and he says, I want your son to be my Eidim. And he'll be my Eidim, and I'll support him, he'll be able to learn B'menuchas HaNefesh, Grace, I've got no shortage, Baruch Hashem, and I'll give it, you'll be able to learn, no problem, B'menuchas HaNefesh, and we'll do the Shidduch. And the father went to the Shidduch, it made sense, he says, B'seida, and they wrote to Tanoim already, he was 12 years old. What happened was, this mechutin was not only happy with the shidduch. He said, you know what, I want you really to become Adam Gadol. Why should you stay in cheder with everybody else? You're learning Aleph Beis. I'll pay a malamed to come and learn with you one-to-one, that you should mamish build your kishrenes gefila, that your kishrenes can manage. And this kid, every single day, he went to his mechutin's house, and he learned by this Rebbe, and he became, slowly, he was growing into Talmud Chacham Nuflug. Not only that, he provided him food. He mamish looked after him. Unfortunately, came a time when the parnosa of this yid started suffering, and it went down and down. And before the chasna, he came up to the father and said, "I'm really sorry, but it's quite." I'm very sorry, but it's quite clear that all the promises I made for this chasna aren't going to happen. They're not going to happen. And what can I do? There's nothing to do about it. This yid said, my father heard this. He didn't even discuss it with me. He told the fellow, I'm really sorry. I want to make sure that my son is going to have a setup where he's going to be able to be supported. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to carry on the shidduch. And he did the most terrible thing. And because of this, he cancelled the shidduch. What happened was, is this yid telling the story? He said what happened was, by then I was already an accomplished Talmud Chacham, and everybody was running after me. And another shidduch came up, a similar kind of idea, and it was all sorted. And we got married with the grace of Simcha. 3 months later, after the chasna, I suddenly became very ill. But the Lashon is, I got tzaras. Right? Whether that was leprosy or something similar, I don't know. I got tzaras. And my shver called in the best and the most powerful doctors, and they all came and they tried. It just wasn't going. And I was just lying there in bed. And one day my shver walked in, and he said, look, you know and I know, I've tried everything. There's no way that you're going to be cured. This is a condition you're going to have for the rest of your life. And you're going to be in bed. What's going to be with my daughter? Unfortunately, it's not going to be able to carry on. I think you should write her a get. And I did. I wrote her get b'les brira, and I was left in a situation where I didn't have, I had no panosa left, I had nothing. I went to stay in a chesed place, a beis achnasas orchim, where they allowed me to have one room where I could stay there and not to quarantine in that room, and no one should catch it, and stay in that room. Once a week, the Talmid HaChacham of the town would come into this room, I'm sure they distanced themselves, they didn't come too close, they stayed there. And I used to give him a shir every week on Gemara al Pi Marsha, from my bed, as a chayla. One day, a group of Yidden that had the schus of going from town to town to put together money for tzedakah, and they came to me and they said, actually, they walked into this, they stayed in this Beis Achanas Zarchim, and they walked past as this shir was going on, and they were impressed. And they said to me, do you know what, we've got an idea for you. Efshe, you come along with us from town to town, and each town you'll give a shir, and the owner will be impressed, they'll be touched by your position, and they'll want to give more than they would have otherwise given. And that way we can raise more money for tzedakah, and we'll give you a percentage, whatever, that you'll also gain something out of it, financially. Because I didn't have much to lose, and I said I'm going to go along with them. And we're going from town to town, and I'm giving these shiurim. And one day after the shir, the Rav comes over to me and he says, you know, I've got a shidduch for you. I said, I'm a shidduch, you know, I've got saras. He said, don't worry about that, so is she. She's also got saras. So why should you both live separately? Come together. I took the shidduch and we got married. And it was a simcha. Till the yichud room. And in the yichud room, this girl started crying. Started crying, b'chias neirois. And I said to her, what's the problem? Why are you crying? She'd be a merdig a simcha. She said, I must tell you, I'm crying about my life. That you should know there was a time when I was engaged to a boy, to a bocha, who was mamish a tamad chom muflig. And the shidduch was going to happen, and everything was going smoothly. And then unfortunately my father lost his money, and my shidduch was broken off. And now, a few years down the line, I'm here, I'm getting engaged to a metzera. I'm poshut crying in my matzah. Because this story sounded vaguely familiar to me, and I started asking questions. And after a few questions, it was quite clear that this is the girl who I was engaged to so many years before. He turned to Vilna Gaon, and he said, you know, I was zeicha to see in such a clear oifen that me Hashem yotza adova. It was quite clear why I had to become ill. I had made this girl suffer so terribly for no reason. She had done nothing wrong. Her father's panosa had changed. Nothing had happened to her, nothing happened to her father. And after Pekain, I went and I made her suffer. Avada, I deserved to get that tzaras. Why did she deserve to get that tzaras? Because if she wouldn't have had the tzaras, she wouldn't have thought of marrying me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was Masavav, call us Masavav. We should both be in this situation, we should come together again. And he finished off and he says, 3 months after the chasna, a maisa nes happened. And both of us were suddenly cured from tzaras. I can't explain it, I don't know how it happened. But 3 months after it was gone, and ever since we've been living healthily. You asked me a question. Why do I bring my wife a tea every morning for the first thing? Do you know how many years I made her suffer? I made her suffer for so many years. The least I can do is make her a tea every morning to try and make amends. It's a way of seeing, it's a way of looking at life. Sometimes it's so clear, sometimes it's less clear. But it's always there. It's always that. It's so again now, there's so many, at Bifrat now with the Corona Matzav, so many difficulties have come up when it comes to Shidduchim and Chasnas that follow and how they're going to happen, how they're not going to happen. And it's hard. Klal Yisrael is going through a difficult Tkufa. But if we open our eyes and we learn from these Pashas how everything that happens and doesn't happen is with a Cheshbon that's absolutely perfect. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is there's nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that isn't Oiske Cheshbon and has done the best thing for us. It couldn't possibly be better. However difficult it feels, B'Shas Maisa, but we know and we believe that everything that happens is could not possibly be better. And you know, I was in Antwerp. My wife comes from Antwerp. And I was there and I heard a speech once from the Rav, the Amor, the Asher of Aaron Schiff, Zolle Gesund Sein. And he said over a little Maisela that happened to Reb Chaim Kreiswitz, Chayne Vorche. Reb Chaim Kreiswitz was the Rav, as we know, the Rav of Antwerp. And the Shamish there in the shul was a Yid called Reb Moshe Zalakovich. Anybody know him? Chayne Vorche. The Tyre Yid. I remember he was the Shamish. I remember my chuppah, he was the one, he was Masada, and he gave out the wine, everything. He was the Shamish of the shul there. Tyre Yid, very close to the Rav, Reb Chaim Kreiswitz. And they were once walking along together, and there was a little child running across in front of them. And Reb Moshe turned to Reb Chaim Kreiswitz and he said to him, look at the smile on that kid's face. Such a simchas achayim. So Reb Chaim Pelzer said, you know why he's got such a Simchas Chaim, his child? I'll tell you why. He doesn't have a care in the world. He wants food. He asks his father, he gets food. He needs clothes. Asks his father, he gets clothes. Whatever he wants, his father there to help him. Everything. He doesn't have to worry about anything in life. He said, Reb Chaim turned to this Yid, Reb Moshe Zelikovich, and he said to him, if we would realize that every little thing that we need and we want, we have a father who's looking after us and is willing to give it to us with the greatest, biggest ava, then our Simchas HaChaim would be the same as that little child. It's that little child. He's got no worries in the world. We too have no worries. We do not have a single worry. Anything that we've got difficult, so Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided this is the best thing for us, and he's looking after us. And if there's something else we want, we ask him. We ask him. You know, my grandmother once said to me, she said, no, people say that. I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu so many times, he doesn't listen to me. He said, it's a big mistake. He listened to you. He heard the question and he said no. Yeah, it's also an answer, right? An answer. What's pshat? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's the best thing for us. We make a cheshbon. We go, this is going to be better. If I win the lottery, it's going to solve all my problems, yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it's not the best thing for you to win the lottery. He knows what's going to happen to you if you win the lottery, yeah? It's not the guy. Samol, he has to say no. Oh, but he's there for us. Everything is oiske cheshbon, and there's nothing in the world that isn't there with the cheshbon. And everything there is done for our ava because he loves us. If we would have that appreciation, we would have a day of Simchas HaChaim, a life of Simchas HaChaim. So it's just a matter of opening our eyes. The Hashkocha is there. The Hashkocha is there with every step. And our job and our avoid is to open. Open those eyes. So Mitzvah Hashem, let's take these parshas with us through the year. And let's think about the Hashkocha we've seen. Whether it's the Hashkocha of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. Whether it's Yosef HaTzadik. Whether it's Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. Or whether it's this Metzaira or anything else. But everything is done with a cheshbon. And in Yitz Hashem, if we go away with this, then we'll be zeichet to have days filled with Simchas HaChaim, Bezus Hashem.